John chapter 5 is where we read, and this really will bring to a close our series. We've called it Lifeline, and we've gone all the way, as Kelvin said, from conception all the way to death last week. And have we covered everything? Well, no, of course we have not. So one more message. John chapter 5 verse 28 and 29 is where we'll read. Jesus says, "Do not be amazed at this. For a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice, the voice of the Son of Man, and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." Now, it's absolutely central to the Christian faith, the belief that death is not the last word on the human body. Death is like the full stop at the end of the first sentence of an endless story. That's all it is. It's just the full stop at the end of the first sentence of an endless story. Doesn't seem like that though. If you walk through a graveyard, the occupants of that graveyard will seem to be imprisoned forever in the chains of death, powerless to prevent their own decay, the dissolving of their bodies, the dispersal, the disappearance without trace of all that was them in physical terms. The headstones fall down, their graves are untended by a new generation that rises up who doesn't even know their name. If only there was a key to open the prison cells of the grave. If only there was a master key that could set all the dead free. But we don't possess that. It's not in my possession or in your possession, that master key. It's not in the possession of scientists. It's not in the possession of doctors. It's not something that you can obtain by money or by power. It's not something in the hands of people like ourselves. If anyone is going to hold a master key to death and to Hades, it has to be God. Because God alone has mastery over the whole of life. We come here to this passage and we read about someone who is going to do, as verse 20 says, he's going to do greater things than these. And the "these" refers back to verse 16. It says Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath. What were these things? Well, the beginning of the chapter, for a start, he was healing a man who was crippled, an invalid for 38 years at the Pool of Bethesda. And of course, these things refers to his miracles of life. Jesus gives life. Jesus restores and repairs and resuscitates life. Who is this Jesus? And what relevance does he have to your life and to mine? Well, let's go through the passage that we read, 16 to 30. The first thing that we have to see is that he is calling himself the Son of God. Verse 17, he speaks about my Father. He's saying he's got a father-son relationship with God. That is, in the language of the Jews, equivalent to saying he is God. And that's how they understood it in verse 18. The Jewish leaders want to kill Jesus because, in their minds, this is blasphemy. Here's a man saying he is equal with God, as verse 18 says. But the point is, that's what Jesus wants them to see. He's not saying, "Wait, wait, wait, you've got a misunderstanding here, I'm not equal to God." That's what he wants them to see. Because he is equal to God. He is the Son of God. And his miracles, his wonders, are proof of that. If anyone is going to have the master key then, it is this man, Jesus. And he is a man. As well as being God, he's a man, he's been born, he's gone through the kind of lifeline that we've spoken about ourselves as having in this series of sermons. And he can be killed as well. As verse 18 says, they're trying to kill him, they will succeed. He is man, but he is also, verse 27, the Son of Man. He says, because he has authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. What's he referring to there? He's obviously got something in mind. And that's why we read in Daniel chapter 7. In my vision at night, Daniel says, I looked and there before me was one like a Son of Man. There he is. Coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, God, and was led into his presence. He, the Son of Man, was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Jesus is referring himself to that vision. A vision in which a man, a human figure, the Son of Man, progresses to receive an everlasting kingdom and worship. A Son of Man, but obviously more than a man. In the presence of God, the Ancient of Days, he receives worship. This man in Daniel 7 is receiving the kingdom of God. This man, Jesus says, is the man he is. He is the Son of Man. He has moved from being a minor under the charge of Mary and Joseph to coming into his inheritance as the son of the King of Kings. He has, verse 27, given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man, because he's that figure in Daniel 7. And what you read in Daniel 7 has happened. He has come and he has received from the Father. This man, Jesus, has received from the Father an everlasting kingdom and worship from the peoples of the world. This man has received the master key of life. But something very strange happens to this man that you would not therefore expect, and it's this. He dies. The plot to kill him in verse 18 finally succeeds at Golgotha. And that's a fact of history. The Son of Man dies. Another fact of history, though, is that the Son of Man rose. And it's a fact, because without that fact, there wouldn't be a Christian church. The whole movement would have come to nothing. But the Father, who, as verse 21 says, raises the dead, raised up Jesus from the dead. That material body that the Son of Man had was raised to life. But not just quite the way it was before, the same body, but it was different. It was a resurrection body. It was a body that, if you go to 1 Corinthians 15, is described as being imperishable, immortal, spiritual, powerful, glorious. That's the body Jesus got, fit for dwelling at the right hand of God. Today we know that Jesus is risen. This body that Jesus has, this body that the Son of Man, that the Son of God has, it is made of the same stuff as our bodies. Remember, Jesus said, touch me. After he was risen, remember he ate the fish. But it's a better body as well. Because it's a resurrection body. It's a body that has lived in the presence of the glory of God for the last 2,000 years. If you're going by earth time, I'm not sure how they reckon it in heaven. But at the right hand of God, this body has been, by our reckoning, 2,000 years. Clearly, it's not just like these bodies that we have. It's got qualities that are far beyond what we know. It's a body that belongs, in fact, to something that hasn't yet arrived. It's a body that belongs to a resurrected creation, to a new creation. Jesus' risen body is a promise of what is to come. It's a promise of the renewal of the whole of creation, so that the whole of creation will be like his resurrection body. It's a promise of what Jesus is going to do on the day of judgment. Just as his body was liberated from what Romans 8 calls bondage to decay, so as Romans 8 says, the whole creation will be liberated from that bondage, will be transformed to be like new, a new heavens and a new earth. And there, the Son of Man, in a human body, a resurrection body, will reign over a resurrected creation, a new heavens and a new earth. As we read in Daniel 14, his dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. He will reign forever because he is God. And God lives forever. Verse 26, as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. What does that mean for us? Well, this Son of Man, who has received an everlasting kingdom, who is now risen in his glorious resurrection body, has the master key of life. He has the master key to the grave. He says it several times in this passage. Verse 21, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Again, verse 25, I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Verse 28, a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. The Father has given to this man, the Son of Man, the key, the master key to the grave. From Jesus, there is no hiding place in the grave. There are no secrets in the grave. No one is forgotten in the grave. Jesus has the power to open the graves, as he says himself here, and to raise mankind to live again, bodily. But to this figure, Jesus, the Son of Man, God has also given the power of judgment. The Father has given his Son Jesus the last word on our lives. He has the last word. Verse 22, he has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Verse 27, he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. And the man Jesus says in verse 30, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear from the Father, that is. And my judgment is just. And there is a resurrection, and we'll all participate in it. There's a resurrection to life, but there's also a resurrection to condemnation. Because verse 29, those who come out of their graves who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. It's a universal message of the Bible. Matthew 25:46. Then some will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. There is good news in the gospel. There is a resurrection, And if we're going to participate in it, we need to receive Jesus. And it's all about what you and I have done with Jesus. Can you say this morning, as Peter said to Jesus, who else will we go to? You alone have the words of eternal life. Or are you still undecided about Jesus? Or still holding him at arm's length? Jesus is saying to you today, time to make up your mind and be decisive. And stop letting people around you in the community, or the opinions of people whom you follow, sway you from committing your life to Jesus Christ. Who else can we go to? He only has the words of eternal life. And this Jesus will give life forever to all who believe. Verse 29, they will rise to live. Verse 24, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Who's saying these words? The man who will do the judging. This is the basis on which Jesus will judge us. He will look and say, have we heard his word and believe that God sent him? Believe God. Because if we have, Jesus will say, you have eternal life. You will not be condemned. You passed from death to life. And it's his ability to do this that means that he's a savior. His ability to free us from the condemnation we do deserve because of our sins. We're not fit to live in the new heavens and the new earth. We're not fit to dwell in God's presence as we are. But now we see why the Son of Man had to become a man and had to die. He had to pay the price of our sins. But having done that, he is able to offer the payment of that price and forgiveness with it and a clean sheet, righteousness, eternal life. Jesus Christ delivers us from condemnation and gives us life. So the prospect of the human life is not just a prospect from cradle to grave. It's a prospect that is eternal. Through Jesus, we have this confidence of a glorious future. Because he's got a resurrection body. He's raised to life. His body never ever fails or fades or ages or decays. His body is imperishable, indestructible, eternal. Like himself as God. His body is the first sign of the new creation. And the next sign of that new creation will be at the resurrection. When we ourselves will be raised. And we ourselves also will receive bodies. Not just the bodies we have now or not the bodies we have now. Yes, they will come out of the dust like these bodies we have now come out of the dust, but they will be endued with the properties of the new creation. They will live forever. The destiny of Jesus, the Son of Man, will become our destiny. And then Jesus will do for the creation what he's done for us. He will raise the creation to newness of life. Just as he healed this crippled man at the pool of Bethesda, so Jesus will heal the crippled creation. And his life, the life of God, the life of the Son of God, becomes our life and the life of the rest of creation. Everlasting life. And just as he delights in that life and flourishes in it eternally himself, he will share it with us. If that doesn't thrill you, nothing will. Because There are heights that we shall reach in that we can't even begin to imagine. Heights we'll reach in the company of the Son of Man, the man who has the master key to eternal life. Hallelujah. Let me just finish in the words of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5 says, after the resurrection and the restoration of the creation, we will reign forever. Revelation 11 says the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. Revelation 22, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city. And his servants will serve him. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Literally, they will reign into the ages of the ages. Time will stretch forward forever. There will be enough time for everything. Enough time for all the glorious purposes of God for his creation to be finally fulfilled. Age upon age of progress and development and discovery in our new bodies, in the new creation, with the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. That is the destiny of human life, which began in the humble beginnings of conception. Some molecules coming together in a mother's womb. The destiny is to reign forever and ever in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the new heavens and in the new earth. And if you trust in Jesus Christ this morning, then you should glory in that assurance and live in the light of it confidently, day by day. And let it transform your life here and now as you anticipate what eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has it entered into your heart, what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen.